Going to John, because I don't want us to read from verse 1. Let me read from verse 6. Isaiah chapter 25 from verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And we destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. So this is a futuristic prophecy of the coming back of Jesus. But then again, by the law of double reference, there are some things that are meant for the future. There are some things that are already taking place. So he says in verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we are waiting for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Hallelujah. Now, we touched on some things last week, and looking at the book of Psalm, but let's just take over this morning from the book of Romans, in chapter 3. We'll be going back and forth. I will say one of some things about last week so that we can bring her up to speed, and then we will see, we'll run it as a continuous thread. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, and let me read from verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Notice, by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, sin may be present, but without the law, sin cannot be fully recognized. So when it says, but the law is the knowledge of sin, it means that sin actually puts a spotlight on sin. So law actually puts a spotlight on sin. So when law is absent, it wasn't necessarily that sin wasn't there. It was that law actually put a spotlight upon sin. So when it says, verse 21, but now, say now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So he's saying there is a kind of righteousness that comes by the law. There is another kind that God has prepared for all men, which has now been manifested through Christ Jesus. He says that righteousness didn't come or came into full manifestation in the New Testament by the sacrifice of Jesus, but that righteousness has always been in existence. So let me read verse 21 again. But now, the righteousness of God without the law, which is men getting right with God outside of the deeds of the law, is now made manifested, but it has been witnessed to by the law and the prophets. And so we looked at some scriptures in the past 2 weeks in the Old Testament, some by the prophets, and I just want to just pick one or two of those scriptures again for us to see that the true nature of God has been interwoven through our scriptures. Again, we established something last week. God reveals to Moses his ways and his acts. But the children of Israel only knew God's acts. The challenge of knowing somebody's acts outside of his ways is that you can easily misinterpret the acts. If you know his ways will give you a clue to why he acted in such a manner. And so the children of Israel only saw the acts of God. They didn't understand God's ways. But the Bible says he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Now, if you read that verse alone, you will think that God specially chose Moses and decided he was going to just reveal himself to him, which is something that God does. But what he was saying was this: when God tried to make his ways known on children of Israel, they rejected God's ways. But Moses embraced God's ways. And because Moses embraced God's ways, Moses could interpret every act and every activity that proceeded from God. And so if you see a particular being, and all you can see is the action of that being, the actions are not sufficient for you to understand the character and the nature of that being. So when God made known his ways unto Moses, Moses understood something that the whole nation of Israel didn't understand. And it's very important we understand that. Because they didn't understand it, there were things that happened in their midst, calamities that befell them, that wasn't necessarily the will of God. It was a function of fact that they did not know God the way Moses knew God. In other words, in a given situation, you can have two different individuals facing the same situation, coming out with different results, or two different individuals making the same mistakes, and one falls never to rise, another is able to get up with ease. The difference is not that God is partial, for the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. The difference is what we know. So the Bible says he made known his ways, which means that the only way people can know God is by revelation. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And for those who simply stayed with his acts and didn't know his ways, there were many areas in which they misunderstood and misinterpreted what God was doing. Hallelujah. I think we should just read that. Psalm 103. We'll come back here. Psalm 103. inside that verse of scripture is a lot, really. Look at what the first three verses says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 1 to 3. I want to read verse 1 to 3 and then I'll jump to verse 7. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits, also the word gift, something that's freely bestowed because of the benevolence of the person giving it. So a benefit is something that you are given because the person that wants to give it to you is benevolent. You don't qualify, you don't work for it. So when it says forget not, it means that the limitation that man has when it comes to enjoying God's goodness and God's kindness is that we forget. It means we focus our attention on many other things and then we lose sight of the benefits that belong to us in God. What are those benefits in verse 3? Who forgiven all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Notice he uses the word all for both. So notice there's a connection between iniquities forgiven and diseases healed. In other words, God removes the accusation out of the way through the forgiveness of sin so that men can receive health and healing. Now, even in the face of accusation, health and illness has always been there, but men are not able to receive because of the thought of condemnation. So God therefore ensures that he forgives all their iniquities, then he heals all their what? Diseases. So jump to verse 7 with me now. Notice what it says. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Again, I said something last week that the Bible offers complete thoughts. And so, don't take this verse of scripture out of the chapter. Follow the thread and the thought. He just spoke about benefits initially. He spoke about how men should bless God. In fact, he says that a man's soul will be enriched when he learns how to bless God. And he will come into a constant understanding of the availability of God's benefits. So in verse 8 now says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in... What did Moses know that the children of Israel didn't know? That God is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That was the way that Moses knew that he didn't know. Hence, there were laws that Moses gave to them that Moses contradicted and Moses did not suffer the consequences. Why? Moses knew that God was one. No. Read everything. Read the whole verse. I want to be sure that you actually understand what I'm saying. What did Moses know about God? That God is what? And merciful and next thing is what? And glory to God. He made known his way unto Moses. What is his way? He's merciful and gracious. He's very slow to get angry. In other words, at the drop of a hat, God looks for ways to do good. Being good is who he is. Being good is not what he does to reward people. Being good is just who he is. God can't help being good. That's what Moses is saying. Moses discovered that God is merciful and gracious. Remember that when God called Moses, he didn't call Moses' sin to remembrance. In other words, at the time God found Moses, even though he had been in the wilderness for 40 years, Moses was still a fugitive from Egypt, and he was a fugitive as a murderer. And God didn't mention the murder, and yet murder is a sin. In fact, if you know what Moses wrote about committing murder in the laws, you will know that the minute God appeared, if God was walking according to the law that Moses wrote, the minute God appeared, Moses just died. Just evaporate. But God called Moses. In fact, God sought for ways to get Moses' attention. Bible says that as he saw a bush that was burning, and he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. What was great? Not that the bush was burning. What was great was that the bush that was burning was not consumed. It was a parable that God was giving him. Why? To get his attention. So as he turned aside, then God could speak because God has his attention. That is it possible for a bush to be burning and then not consumed? That's the nation of Israel. Now notice that despite the affliction and the challenges, they are still there. They still remain. In fact, at that particular point in time, the Bible says that when the affliction increased, the nation of Israel multiplied. So it wasn't a natural multiplication. It was a natural increase. So Moses knew something. Abraham knew something. David knew something. Jacob knew something. Isaac knew something. It was what they knew that determined their walk with God. That's what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 3 when he says that a righteousness without the law has been witnessed by the law and the prophets, but it's now made manifest. The word manifest means that the execution and the availability of it in full measure has now been accomplished through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So when he says it has been witnessed by the law and the prophets, we just read Psalm 103 now. Let's read Psalm 130. Look at Psalm 130. Notice the consistency in what they all said. Verse 3, Psalm 130, verse 3. Glory to God. If thou, Lord, shall mark iniquity, O Lord, all shall stand. Notice the phrasing. If thou, Lord, should mark. So let's rephrase it. Does God mark iniquity? You see the number of people that said no. Very few. The rest were wondering, what is this? God that cannot behold sin. But this is what the psalm is saying. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Look at verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Glory to God. Micah. Let's look at another prophet. This is the book of Psalms. Let's look at Micah chapter 7. Let's read from verse 18. Micah chapter 7. That's verse 18. Now, we're soon going to set you up, because one of these Sundays we will come to church, we won't put any scripture on the screen. Then you open your Bible. And if you don't have your Bible, you will stand up with me. We will preach together throughout the service. You won't stand in your seat. You will stand beside me here. You'll be my usher for that day. So, never come to church without your Bible. Tell your neighbor, never come to church without your Bible. All right. Amen. You know, it's funny when people don't come to church with their Bible. In these days, that is even free. If we were persecuted for becoming a Christian in secondary school like I was, you put your Bible inside newspaper or nylon and slip it and then go to church. So your parents will not, because you will not eat that day if they see you are going to all those holy, holy churches. You understand? So when people are now still hiding what you cannot freely carry, I really wonder. All right, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Hey, is that in your Bible? This is shouting ground. He delights. You know, some people's image of God is this. He delights in punishment. In fact, you know, it's very strange that believers will make a mistake. They're expecting hammer to come from nowhere and eat them. No wonder if things go wrong, the first thing they think about is God punishing them. They don't understand. He has made you accepted in the beloved. You didn't make yourself, you didn't qualify yourself. He did so. Salvation is God punishing himself for man's sins and offering him liberty without doing any works. Michael says, by the Spirit of God, who is a God like unto that pardons iniquity and passes by the translation of the remnant of his redeemed? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And he will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Thou will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast shown unto our fathers from the days of old. In other words, here is prophesying about the fact that there are things that God told Abraham about the fact that in you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What was he speaking about? He was talking about the salvation that came through Christ Jesus. And the basis and the crux of that salvation is this: the forgiveness of sins. It's so important that we understand it. So important. Because if you don't, your Bible will be a strange book to you. You will see a schizophrenic God who has dual personalities. But God has always been this way. So let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. That was the righteousness that is outside of the law. For the Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So therefore, how then was Abraham justified? He obviously located a righteousness that did not require the law. For we know that Abraham walked with God, and Abraham did not walk with God according to the law. For the law didn't come into existence until many years after Abraham had died and passed on. We know Jacob didn't walk by the law. We know Isaac didn't walk with God by the law. Yet the Bible says they were made righteous by God, or God accepted their faithful righteousness. So there was a righteousness that has always been in the heart of God that a few people got into. Enoch walked in it. Noah walked in it. Then Abraham walked in it. Then many other people walked in that righteousness, and it was a righteousness that was without the law, or a way of God making people right in himself without requesting their works or their qualification. There was a righteousness that way. So the Bible now says, Romans chapter 4 from verse 1 that we saw last week. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh has found? So Abraham found something. In other words, he didn't work for it. He discovered it. It was given to him. Let me say this again. The way God manifested to Abraham was simple. And that is a pattern in the nature and the character of God. Salvation or walking with God is not a function of what you can do for God. It's a function of recognizing what God offers you. There was an offer that God gave to Abraham that Abraham could never have dreamed of. That's what salvation is. Salvation is God's offer that is beyond the circumference of an individual's dream. That's what salvation is. So he says, what will this Abraham found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof or a basis for glorying or rejoicing before God. The Bible says, once said the scripture, verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now look at verse 4. Now to him that walketh is the reward reckoned, not reckoned of grace, but of what? Debt. In other words, the one who lives right, who dots all the I's and crosses all the T's, what is given to him is required as his due. It's something he deserves. It's something he worked for. It's something he qualified for. After all, he has always been morally upright. That's what the Bible is saying. It says, if what Abraham did or he got or received of God was something he qualified for, then it is a reward. It is not actually of grace. Look at verse 5. But to him that walketh not. That's the underlying verse of our salvation. To him that walketh not. In other words, to him who doesn't do anything to qualify for it. Notice in the other part. But believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. How was Abraham when God met him? Ungodly. How was Moses when God met him? Ungodly. How did their faith work? They believed on him who justifies the ungodly. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. In other words, God made an offer to them. They believed God's offer. They were still ungodly, but God made them righteous. Shall I rephrase that? How does faith come? By hearing. The Bible can say their faith was counted for righteousness without God offering them something. And when I say offered something, God verbally offered them something. Because faith comes by hearing. So when God appeared to Abraham and said, come out of thy kind and of thy family and of the peace of people and go to a land I will show you and I will make of thee. That was God's offer. When Abraham believed based on what he had, God regarded his faith for righteousness. So in other words, it was what they had that inspired faith that they responded to that made them righteous before God. Notice again that phrase. It says, now to him that walketh is a reward. That's, I'm reading from verse 4. Not reckoned of grace but of death, but to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So Abraham was ungodly. Every man that God made were ungodly. But their faith in God's goodness, in God's mercy, which means the same revelation that Moses had of God was the same revelation that Abraham walked in. What did Moses know? Moses knew that God is gracious and full of mercy. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It was the same revelation that Abraham had that ensured that though Abraham was not perfect or morally upright, God was still able to bless Abraham irrespective of his actions. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29. We'll be going back and forth in the old and the new. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29. See what it says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are what? Belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now that sounds nice, it sounds good. But understand what he was saying in context. Notice the last phrase, that we may do all the words of this law. So here are children of Israel expressing their response to the law that Moses gave to them. What was the law that Moses gave to them? It says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed. Two major ways to explain this. Number one, there were things that were secret that the children of Israel never knew about God that only Moses knew. So the children of Israel agreed that those things were secret things. But the light of what Moses knew was what enhanced Moses' walk of faith with God. So Moses walked with God by faith. The children of Israel walked with God according to law. So they said the secret things belong to the Lord our God. That's not a good statement on their part. Because what they were calling secret wasn't something that was available to Moses alone. Was something that was restricted to Moses alone because they rejected when God offered them. In fact, let me put it this way. Do you know that Moses preached the gospel to the nation of Israel? It was when they rejected the gospel that he offered them the law. Who do you offer the law to? People who reject the gospel. Let me say it another way. Moses preached grace unto them. But when they rejected grace, that was when Moses brought out the law. Who you'd give the law to? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. We'll come back here. Who do you offer the law to? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Who is the law made for? I want to be sure. Who is it made for? And mothers of for man's King James is wonderful. Notice, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Why didn't Abraham receive the law? He had a revelation. What was that revelation? That God is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. His faith, based on the revelation of God, was counted for righteousness. And so Abraham was able to walk with God, not according to righteousness that comes by the law, but righteousness that comes from faith. Where does his faith come from? The revelation of the fact that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. That is what the nation of Israel was calling secret. Moses knew. The nation of Israel didn't know. You cannot walk with God beyond the circumference of the knowledge that you know of God. You can't. You can't walk with God beyond the circumference of knowledge that's available to you. So what they were calling something secret was something that Moses knew that they didn't know. They walked across. You know, it's very strange that Moses gave them the law. In fact, you know, the Bible calls Moses the law giver. You know, it's very interesting. The Bible keeps mentioning for that Moses gave them the law. Even Jesus said Moses gave them the law. Notice Jesus didn't say God gave them the law. Because the law is not a true representation of who God is and God's character. It was Moses who gave them the law. Now, the Moses who gave them the law didn't live by the law he gave. I said something last week that Moses married a woman from another tribe, which is a sin, which none of them dared do, but Moses did. And Moses was not punished. And when they did it, they were punished. It means Moses must have known certain things about God that they didn't know. One didn't know about God. If you do this, in dying, you shall die. What did Moses knew? Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. What did Moses experience? God is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So Moses experienced grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Are you following this morning? That's why Psalm 2 verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. It's a process. They know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. I have said. What don't they know? What God had already said. You are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? They know not, neither will they understand. So there was an understanding of God that was communicated to Moses, that Moses knew, that everyone who walked by faith knew. And because they knew it, they were exempted from disaster and calamity. Let me put it another way. If the children of Israel knew only God's acts, and the Bible says the ways of God are God is gracious and merciful, is slow to anger and plenteous mercy. If you see any activity, listen carefully, that speaks of God being quick to anger and slow to mercy, is that God? I'm glad you are saying no. In life situations, will you say no? If you see any activity where what seemed to manifest was as though the being that was in charge was quick to anger and slow in mercy, will that be God? No. Let's move on. I will say one or two things. Amen. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And those things which are what? Revealed. Then it be David, Paul goes further in Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 6. He says, even as David, verse 6 now, Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David means, in the same way that David also encountered what Abraham had encountered. What did Abraham encounter? That God justifies the ungodly. That God justifies the ungodly. It now says, David encountered the same thing, but David said it in a different way. What did Moses say? Look at verse 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness. So David now calls it a blessing. Blessing of the man unto whom God imputes what? Righteousness without works. Did you see that? Look at next verse. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. Glory to God. He didn't say the man has no sin. He said, Lord will not impute sin. And he calls it a blessing. And he's describing the same experience that Abraham had. That when David encountered God, his revelation, he expresses this way. Blessed is a man to whom God will not impute sin. So we are not saying that these individuals didn't sin. In fact, when it came to Abraham, Paul referred to them as ungodly. But he says God will not impute sin. Why? What they knew enforced their walk. And that was the revelation of God's righteousness that makes you understand that God is what? Gracious and merciful, slow to anger and full of what? And was slow to anger and what? Plenteous in mercy. That was the revelation that they had. So David said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin or impute iniquity. It was the same revelation. That was the righteousness that the law and the prophets were witnessing to. That men walk with God according to faith, and their faith obtained righteousness and established their work and their fellowship with God. In other words, these men cast off or refocused their attention not on their deeds but on God's deeds. And when they did, it was counted to them for righteousness. So in the Old Testament, you will see that though it was mentioned that when Noah came out of the ark, he became drunk and cursed his children, in the New Testament, you won't see that record written. Someone says, why? Because the sacrifice of Jesus has wiped away every stain from their record. They believed in God that justifies the ungodly. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. I'm going to jump. Let's just read verse 6. But without faith, it is one. Impossible to please. Notice it says without. Notice it didn't say without right actions. Without moral uprightness. It didn't even say without faith, you might not please God. He said it's impossible. Let me put it another way. Without you standing on what God has done and said, you can't please him. Without faith is impossible. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. And so Abraham had something. Abraham stood on it, forsook his own works, and stood on God's work. And Abraham pleased God. David had something, believed what he had, stood on it, forsook his own works, and embraced God's work. Without faith. Now, this is not a definition for faith. He's talking about the fact that, because you notice the next verse, the next part of that verse now says, for he that cometh to God. So from verse 1 to verse 6 is describing the faith of the Old Testament saints. He said they came to God. You are not come to God. God is in you. Say amen. He is explaining how they were justified by faith. So he says, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How did God reward their faith? He justified them. That's what God did. He justified them. So let's jump now. What did Moses give the children of Israel? The law. But look at the testimony of the scriptures concerning Moses now. Look at verse 24. Remember we read earlier that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So if any man is going to be justified, can the law justify them? No. With the law comes the knowledge of sin. So everyone who had been justified before Moses was ever born were justified by another means, which is by faith in God and in what God offered. So look at what the Bible says about Moses. Moses who gave the law, look at what the Bible says about him. By faith Moses, not by law, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had the respect unto the recompense of the reward. Notice the Bible says Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ or the anointed one. In other words, Moses had a revelation of the sufferings of Christ. It's amazing, but it's true. Moses had a revelation of the sufferings of Christ. And he believed. In fact, in the scripture, while he was giving them a law, he kept quoting, a prophet like unto me, will the Lord your God raise up to you? It shall come to pass, any who does not listen to that prophet shall be cut off amongst people. He was talking about Jesus Christ. So Moses preached the gospel. But when they rejected the gospel, remember the Bible says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Was Moses righteous? Yes. Why did Moses follow the law? The law is not made for a righteous man. So any man who walked by faith, they couldn't obey or walk with God according to law. Faith justified them. Look at verse 31. This will hurt every trace of religion inside of you. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. In case you missed it, let's read again. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. Why did they put harlot? To remind you what she was. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. So a harlot can have faith. What would the faith do? She will cease to be a harlot. You are the one who is calling her harlot. In fact, not only did she, you know, it's very strange. This woman wasn't just justified. She entered into the lineage of Jesus. By faith. So he says, by faith the harlot perish not with them that believe not. Stop. 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 Is that in your Bible? Why did the others perish? They believed. Okay. That's what happened to the Israelites. They believed not. When God was speaking to them for the first time, and they saw smoke and fire, the smoke and fire that they saw, Moses walked towards the smoke and fire and entered, and the children of Israel ran back. What did they see when they saw smoke and fire? They saw death. What did Moses see? The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in. So two different people seeing two different things in the same situation. Moses saw this smoke, this fire is God's mercy manifestation. What did children of Israel see? Death. Let not God speak to us. If he speaks to us, we shall die. Again, understand. Moses knew his ways. They saw his acts. And that was the problem. The problem was that Moses had a revelation of God that he didn't have. Moses lived where they died. Why did they perish? They believed not. Of course, here in that verse, he was talking about the nation that even perished with Rahab. But notice what the Bible says again. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. I don't want us to go back to that story, but the Bible says that this woman believed the testimony of the spies. She even gave a testimony to them that encouraged them. If you have ever read it in the book of Joshua, she gave a testimony. You know, how many of you remember that story? When two spies came to the country, they came to spy out Jericho. And when they came into her house, and she hid them from the army of that particular nation. And when they came for, you know what she told them? We have heard. Your God is God in heaven and in heart. And there's no other God like that. Since we had, there's no strength left in any of us. Because there's nothing your God cannot do. That's a testimony of faith. And she, in fact, she even told them, just make me this promise that you will save me and my family when you come to destroy. She even knew they will win. Do you understand? By faith, they are not Rahab. So she was ungodly. She was a heathen. But by faith, she was justified by God. The implication is this, that the pattern and the manner in which God brings people into right stand with them has never been by the law. The law was introduced when men rejected God's free offer of blessing through grace. If I look at what Jesus said in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John's gospel. Look at what Jesus said about Moses. In John's gospel in chapter 5. Are you there? Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you already. Even Moses. In whom you trust. Question, how did Moses accuse them? By giving them the law. The law was an accusation. The law was man not having any excuse before God, who is holy. Yet, mercy and grace excused Moses. Now, the man that was excused by grace and mercy, when he offered grace and mercy and they rejected, he gave them the law that accused them constantly before God. So, Jesus told them that, Moses, you trust him, he's accusing you before God. I can accuse you. I am full of grace and mercy as God is. So when they brought the woman taking out of adultery, we saw Jesus manifesting God fully. Yet they came to Jesus and said that Moses said, we should stone her, but what do you say? Remember all this while when he said Moses said, they believe it was God saying. So let me say it again. Whatever Moses said wasn't what God was saying. It was what Moses was saying. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If what Moses said in every instance in scriptures was what God said, then Jesus will be violating what God said by forgiving that woman. In John chapter 8, therefore, when he brought the woman caught out of adultery, they brought up Moses before them. I know in what they said was the answer. They said, Moses said we should stone her, but what do you say? And they were hypocrites. They wanted to trap Jesus. So Jesus ignored them and started writing on the ground and waited. Then when they kept disturbing, he said, let the one without sin. You know, the one without sin was telling them, let the one without sin among you. Let him take, cast the first stone. Bible says they went from the greatest or the least to the greatest. One by one, they started walking away. The interesting part was, if Moses was there, he too would have walked away. He would have walked away because he was standing before the one who told him, I'm gracious and merciful, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. And Moses knew God that way. Let me say it again. It wasn't that God was overlooking sin. It was that God personally paid for sin. There's a difference. Overlooking sin is saying that sin is nothing. No, sin is something. It cost God his life. Did you hear what I said? Sin cost God his own life. Then it is now an insult to God if a man will bring up sin again after God paid for it with his life. The question is anything bigger than God? Is anything more perfect than the sacrifice that God himself will offer through his son? That's the question. So when you hear people say things like, but what if, I don't know where they get those questions from. It must be from the devil. Pastor, what if rapture takes place and just before the rapture, somebody just steals? Will he go to heaven? That's your problem. You are consumed with going to heaven. You have not read your Bible very well. That the scripture says we are fellow citizens. You are so consumed. You know, it's very funny. You are consumed with going to heaven, and God is consumed with coming here. For this cause, Ephesians 3:14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are already family. Don't be in a hurry to go. Stay longer. You already have visa. Issue visa to others. Hallelujah. I don't know where they conjure those. You know, it's mysterious. The question I want to ask is, are you planning to live in sin? If you are, you are living below your nature. We need to deal with that. Not ask funny questions. What if a person makes mistake? Are you planning to make mistake? And then are you saying that simple mistake overrides the sacrifice of Jesus? Something is wrong with your thinking. Your mind is not renewed. You're making light of the sacrifice of Jesus. When the Bible says, having obtained eternal redemption for, say eternal, is eternal. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let me put it another way. When he died, you were not there. When he rose, you were not there. How did you come in? You embrace what he did. So what you do now can't undo what he has done. He can't. He can't undo what he has done. This is our God. He justifies the ungodly. How does he justify them? They believe in him. And because they believe in him, he accepts their faith for righteousness. He puts them in right standing with himself. He doesn't turn anybody chain first. And it's very interesting. That's the theme of the message we used to hear in the buses in those days. Stop stealing. Stop backbiting. The person doesn't even know what backbiting means. Stop backbiting. Stop drinking. Then the person that is preaching forgets the scripture and now gets personal. All of you that are gambling, God is watching you. All of you that are wearing trousers, you will not make heaven. You know, that's not in the Bible. That's the person now. He has left scripture and example. Then he continues. All of you that are using attachment and weave on, queen of the coast, you cannot make heaven. He has now changed from the preacher of righteousness to the gateman of heaven. Can you see the message he has changed? He has lost relevance now. He has become gateman. He's the one who is now watching because Peter is not doing that job again. He's not doing the job better than Peter. All of you that drink, you cannot make heaven. God wants you to stop all these things. Then come to Jesus. Then my question is, if you can stop before coming, why did you come? I don't understand. How did you come? What did Abraham find? He discovered the God that justifies the ungodly. His faith was counted for righteousness. Abraham began to become God, and then God accepted him. God accepted him as an idol worshiper. He believed God. God justified him. This is our God. If you have any role you play before you get saved, you are not saved, you are shaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things, say all things. In the context, it's talking about salvation. So when it says all things now, it's not talking about cars or houses. So I'm saying all things, let's stay with context. And all these things have gone. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us what? The ministry. Say all things. From the beginning to the very end, they are of God. Who has what? Reconciled us to himself. The place of reconciliation, you were not involved. You are the recipient of the result. If you're not involved, you can't tamper with it. Glory to God. You know, it is pride to think, when I make a mistake, salvation ceases. No, no, it doesn't begin in you. So it won't end in you. He is the author and the finisher of faith. You are not the author or the finisher. He is the author and the finisher of faith. So he started it. He is able to perfect it. Glory to God. What are you meant to do? Put all your trust in him. Absolute confidence in him. So David said, this is the blessedness of the man whose iniquities are covered. Blessed the man to whom God will not impute sin. So question, will God impute sin to you now? No. Oh, many people seem find that difficult to swallow. How possible? I will tell you how it's possible. There's an eternal sacrifice. It's the propitiation for our sins. You can't be the propitiation. You can't pay the price. Your blood is not holy. Hallelujah. So if you really want to convince me that the scripture had to plead the blood, this is how to plead the blood. I boldly confess, in him I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And then you are pleading blood. You are really pleading the blood. Pleading blood is not, I plead the blood. You're laughing, see all of them. That's how to plead the blood. To plead the blood means, you know, the Bible says that, and they overcame him. Revelation chapter 12 verse 1. 11. And they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the what? And in your mind you are thinking they overcame him. They carried the bucket of blood. Yeah. And that's what you are thinking. That's how they overcame him. If in the first place, did you see the one you overcame? He's a spirit. What were you used to deal with the spirit? Something spiritual. So it can be something colored red in a cup. Now to satisfy your palate and make you feel good. It can't be something red inside the cup. Because the person you're dealing with, you can't see him. He's an invisible being. And Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So the pulling down of one, you can't see strong goals. They're in the mind, but they're invisible. But they're structures. So whatever we use also can be physical or carnal related. It can be. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What was their testimony? That we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That now we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. We are complete in him, who is the head. Glory to God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have been made accepted in the beloved. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of forth fruit. I am one with him who is the father of lights, with whom there is no variableness in that shadow of turning. There is no weapon that is formed against me I can prosper. As a word of your testimony, what are you testifying to? The blood of the Lamb, which is his very life. To overcome by the blood means that your confession, based on his finished works, is what constantly fills your mouth and your mind. That's what it means to overcome by the blood. It's not overcome by a liquid. The blood and the life is the same. What has his life accomplished? It has secured eternal redemption for us. How do we express it? With the testimony of our lips. We keep what? Declaring. No matter the situation that is contrary, we keep what? Declaring. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our... So there is no faith without speaking. Our faith is expressed. It is uttered. It's declared. This is the victory. What's our faith? Is in the blood. What's the blood? Is life. What is life? Is life secured eternal redemption. That's what you're meant to be declaring. You declare anything else, you are more conscious of your wrongdoing. Remember, he believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. That's what Abraham found. And what Abraham found, when he found it, in manifestation was inferior to what you now have in Christ. Even Abraham was looking forward to the day of Christ. Glory to God. You know, Jesus testified of Abraham. Look at what Jesus said about Abraham. Look at John chapter 8. And let me begin to run up. John chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8. And let's read from... Okay, you're waiting for me to call the verse. Let's jump to, let's see, verse 44. Okay. Okay, let's read from verse 39. Look at what Jesus told them. When they were trying to stone him, look at what Jesus told them. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children. What does it mean by Abraham's children? We'll start on that one today. Okay, we'll look at, what does it mean by if you were Abraham's children? Because when they said we're Abraham's children, naturally they were descendants of Abraham. So when Jesus was speaking, if you were, this is where fight begins. They were speaking naturally, Jesus was speaking spiritually. Every time Jesus speaks spiritually, the Pharisees are lost. You know, one day just came on, chapter 6, and just said that, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Then, so, you are promoting cannibalism. We should eat your flesh, drink your blood. Can you imagine? This man must have a devil. And he was speaking spiritually. They were thinking carnally. So every time Jesus spoke spiritually, he lost them. Because again, the law of Moses had covered their eyes that they couldn't see. They opened their eyes, but they couldn't see. So here he was speaking again. What was he saying? And this is why they always took offense. Look at what Jesus said. Where did I just read now? Verse 39. The answer I sent to me, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto me, if you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of one Abraham. In other words, the Abraham's children there will find you. If you had the faith of Abraham, or you are walking in the footsteps of Abraham, you will do Abraham's works. But look at what he said next. But now you seek to kill me. A man has told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Huh, the government. And said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You have your father, the devil. Jesus was bold. And the loss of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father, the originator of it. Let me jump. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 56. Because of time. Are you there? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glory to God. Again, remember, how is Jesus speaking spiritually? Was it possible that Abraham could physically see Jesus' day? No. Abraham had been dead a long time. If I look at what the Jews said, then said Jews to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And has thou seen Abraham? So again, here's the part. They were thinking naturally, you were speaking spiritually. What was Jesus referring to? Your father Abraham saw my day. Where did he see it? He saw it on the mountain when he went to sacrifice Isaac. He saw God. Rather than Abraham giving his son, God gave a ram in place to show that I am the one who will provide the sacrifice that I request from him. Whatever God will request from man, he will provide it. That Abraham, as you have in your heart, release your son. You never can see that I also will release my son one day. So Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. He saw it and was glad. Glory to God. That's what Jesus was talking about. But look at how carnal they were thinking. We know when you were born, that your death is. They are not even 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? So they were thinking Jesus met with Abraham physically. No. He said, before Abraham was, You know, Jesus doesn't help in these matters. He doesn't help them. As even before Abraham was, I am. I think that's in verse 58, isn't it? They are still angry. They are not up to 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? You know, Jesus said that. What I'm trying to say is that I saw him in the spirit. He didn't bother. He just made it worse. Verily, verily. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Look at Abraham. Then they took up stones. Many times he said that. But I look at bed. Did I not tell you he's mad? I told you. You know, said, I told you before that he has a devil. Even before Abraham, he said he has been existing. Who is he? He was speaking spiritually. He was explaining truths. But Jesus already said something. He said, you cannot hear my word. Their eyes were veiled. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is our God. You know, people have always wondered and asked the question, if God wants the whole world to be saved, it's just go to the, what they call that place at Mecca that they go to? There's any way, tell me? The what? No. At Mecca, there's this black thing that they, there's this, they go on? The Kaaba. Okay. It's just appear. I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Those that will not believe. That's the truth. Jesus will still prefer to meet a Saul on the road to Damascus. This is our God. And give revelation of himself. And everyone that believes receives grace and mercy. That is who God is. So as we go on, we begin to see other aspects. Because the gospel had been preached unto Abraham. According to Galatians, had been preached already to Abraham. The gospel we're preaching had been preached to him. He saw the day of Jesus. He was glad. He believed. He looked for him. And the Bible says that they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So he separates the natural seed from the spiritual seed. Since everyone who is of faith have Abraham as a father spiritually. I said those are the ones who God is counting as part of Abraham's seed. Who are walking the path of righteousness outside from the law. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he tells them stiff-necked and rebellious. He talks about the fact that they had an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does that mean? You can't depart. You can't have unbelief if the truth was not offered to you originally. The truth was offered, but they rejected it due to lack of persuasion. They refused to be persuaded. And when they refused to be persuaded, the law was given to them. And so there are many aspects there that show as though, you know, maybe God has, you know, dual personality. And this one did this and he got away. And this one did that and he didn't get away. No. There are principles in the word of God that show that God has always been good. And his mercy has always endured forever. But the experience upon the heart of men is not dependent on God's side alone. And that's why we often miss it. The experience of man are never completely dependent on God's part. The experience of men have a lot to do with men's response to God or to others' predicament. Man is the establishing witness of either the will of God or the will of the enemy upon the heart. So whatever man chooses to embrace, you will see the fruits of it in manifestation. And so in every place where men have rejected God, we've seen the enemy in full display. And many times when people see those activities, they say it is God. That's why I quoted the first time we started looking at this subject that even till now in insurance, they still call certain calamities the acts of God. Because they read it in the Bible, even though it was a lie. So in the same way also, there are things that happen that have nothing to do with God. They have everything to do with what man has believed. Say amen. Say, I believe God is the author and the finisher of my faith. It is by his faith that I live today. I have been saved, redeemed from all sickness and disease and spiritual death. I stand in the light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. I make bold to say, I'm God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. I am his workmanship, created in Christ unto every good work. My steps are ordered, my paths are bright, for I walk in a light that has no shadows. There is no variableness in my heart or my consciousness about how good the Father is. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Father also. Jesus calls me brethren, and therefore I'm bold to call him Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll continue next week.